The Broncos rebuild begins.
That starts now.
Coaching changes, free agency, the draft. We've got it all covered on Drive Time Sports. Weekdays at 3 on Extra Sports 1300.
Welcome back, Drive Time Sports here on Extra Sports 1300. Ryan Kaufman with you, and joining us now is a college basketball columnist and analyst for CBS Sports. You can hear him on the Eye on College Basketball podcast and see him on Inside College Basketball on CBS Sports Network Tuesdays at 4:30 Mountain Time. Gary Parrish is my guest. Gary, how are you today?
Everything's okay, my friend. You all right?
Yeah, doing great. Except just kind of wondering what's going to come of this FBI probe. There are some of the reports out yesterday were kind of had a Grim Reaper vibe to them, but we don't even know if we're going to even find out what these findings are. What are you hearing about the FBI probe?
Yeah, I've thought from the very beginning and said from the very beginning that this has the possibility of touching all sorts of programs and all sorts of conferences and tarnishing legacies and ending careers. And I still believe that to be true, but I do think it's important to note that since the initial charges were filed, there has been nothing else. And it doesn't mean that the FBI isn't working, and it doesn't mean that they haven't gathered all sorts of evidence, and it doesn't mean that there aren't more arrests coming. I do believe there are more arrests coming. I do believe that seasons will be vacated by the NCAA. I do believe that college coaches will be fired, and in addition to what we've already seen with Rick Pitino. But the idea that it's going to get everybody, or the idea that it's going to happen tomorrow, I think is maybe a little drastic. It's not enough for them to just gather evidence on 50 different schools. Like, okay, where was a crime committed? Can we prove it? The NCAA doesn't necessarily have access to this information, even when the FBI does. So I guess it's my long-winded way of saying, we will see. I think more is coming, but I don't know if it'll really tear down the whole sport or tear down, say, 8 of the top 16 programs in America.
Let's talk about on-the-court stuff. Trae Young not shot well over the last, well, 3 of the last 4. He had one pretty good shooting night, but for the most part, he's kind of off his game shooting the basketball. Oklahoma has lost all 4 of these recent games. I'm just asking for about 24 or so NBA general managers. Is anything wrong with Trae Young?
No, other than, he's playing in the toughest league in America, and there's more tape on him now than there was, say, a month ago, and people are learning how to guard him, and he hasn't been making shots. He's been taking difficult shots, and though he made a lot of them, throughout November, December, and January, clearly hasn't been making them lately. He's missed 18 of his past 19 three-point attempts, which is obviously very difficult to do. I think if you put me on a basketball court, I can make more than 2 of my next 19, and I'm not even good at basketball. He'll break out of it. He's too talented to not. I mean, he still sees the floor in a unique way. He can still create shots and find angles in a unique way. He's still a legitimate top 10 NBA draft pick. He'll be in the league next year. He'll be in the green room in June. He's just going through a rough stretch, but I think he'll break out of it, and I would assume he breaks out of it on Saturday afternoon.
We are always waiting every year to see the next Carmelo Anthony, a guy that can just carry his team, maybe a team in its totality that maybe isn't as good as some of the top teams in college basketball, but somehow he's able to lead them to a Final Four. Do you think Trae Young has that kind of ability?
I think he can get him to a Final Four because he plays for a top 30 team, and basically any top 30 team can reasonably dream of a Final Four. For the past 5 years, without exception, there has been a 7 seed or worse make the Final Four. So if you do the math on that, 4 times 7 is 28. It's about a top 30 team is capable of making the Final Four. One does every single year. And so as long as you threw Oklahoma in that category, I think that he can reasonably you can reasonably hope that he has one of those Steph Curry-like runs and ends up in a Final Four. As far as winning the whole thing, that would surprise me, because I know it doesn't sound like much. Like, when you get to the Final Four, you've only got two more wins. But usually, if you're a team like Oklahoma, like coming from that 6-7 seed range, by the time you get to the Final Four, if you get there, to actually win the whole thing, you've got to beat two teams that are better than you on a neutral court in back-to-back games. It doesn't usually happen. And so, Final Four, sure. I don't know that I'll pick it, but I could see it. National championship, that seems unlikely.
Gary Parrish of CBS Sports joining us here on Drive Time Sports. Why do people hate on Virginia?
I think it's style of play and the tempo at which they play. You know, people, you know, the sport is about putting a ball in a basket, and they don't do it very often. They are more efficient than folks realize, but they literally play slower than every team in America. There's 351 Division I basketball teams. Virginia is ranked 351 in tempo, and they're ranked number one in defense. And so what is it? You throw all that, mix it up, what do you get? A team that cannot score, a team that plays incredibly slow, and a team that cannot be scored on. So you look up and it's like, you know, 4 minutes to go in the first half and it's 14-11. You know, 4 minutes to go in a game and it's 41-40. People don't like that. You know, what's the best show in basketball, period? It's the Golden State Warriors. Why? Because they shoot the ball like crazy. They play fast. They score a lot. That is more pleasant for the eye. And so I understand why people don't like watching Virginia. It becomes an ugly basketball game played at a slow pace. Like, that is everything people don't like about that. But, you know, Tony's going to do what he does, and they're going to win more often than they lose. And eventually he will get to a Final Four and probably win a national championship with this style, because, you know, every single year he puts a solid team, a really good team in that bracket. And sooner or later, if you do that often enough, you know, the ball just bounces the right way for you. You look up and you're right there standing with the three other teams at the end.
Yeah, and that's kind of the follow-up question. Do you think that the tempo, the lack of scoring ability, will more likely cost them in March, or do you think that their defense will be able to carry them to a potential Final Four this year?
If they go to a Final Four, it will be because their defense carried them there, and I'm not ruling that out. They're going to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament, and obviously that gives you a great opportunity to get there. I will say I do think the tempo is a problem, and here's why. You know, they've been upset by inferior teams multiple times in the bracket in recent years, and it's a stain on Tony Bennett's resume. And so you go, okay, well, why? Why is that? And I think really this is the explanation. Because of the tempo at which they play, they turn a 40-minute game into a 34-minute game, and they limit possessions. And when you limit possessions against an inferior opponent, that is what makes you more susceptible to an upset. It's just like, you know, if the NBA playoffs were a best of three, somebody could maybe get the Golden State Warriors. You could maybe look up and beat them 2 of 3, but you're not beating them 4 of 7. The longer you make a series, the more likely it is that the better team is going to win. On an individual game, same deal. The more minutes, the more possessions that you play, the more likely it is the better team is going to win. But with Virginia, they limit possessions to enhance the possibility of an upset, and it's caught them before, and it could theoretically catch them again, absolutely.
Last thing, Gary, before I let you run, obviously out here, Larry Eustace has been a daily topic of conversation on my program. I'm curious to get the national perspective on what's going on in Fort Collins.
Yeah, I've known Larry for a long, long time. I was a Memphis beat writer at the Commercial Pill newspaper when he got the Southern Miss job, and I spent time with him you know, throughout those years. I've kept in touch since he's been at Colorado State. I hate to, you know, for his career to possibly end this way. And I think more what it says about Colorado State is what it says about college basketball in general. I've been told by other coaches that, listen, when you're winning, you can probably do whatever you want. But when you start losing, administrators can find reasons to move you. And I've had coaches who I've been told, like, aren't coaching their team nearly as hard, like, you know, in practices, in terms of using words that maybe they would have used in a different year, different decade, not using those words anymore because they don't want to get caught in a situation like Larry got caught in. Like, they're not trying to lose their multi-million dollar contract, get fired for cause for the way they speak to players. And so it's just unfortunate. And, you know, I think we're learning in all walks of life now, things that used to be okay and that were socially acceptable are no longer okay or socially acceptable. And perhaps at the very least, speaking that way to you know, people you work with or people you coach. You know, it's a wake-up call for a lot of men. I don't think Larry is the worst, even in the categories that are ultimately going to cost him his job. But he is the one whose administration decided to take him on, and it's you know, now he's obviously in a bad spot.
Yeah, it's amazing when he had a $12 or $13 million left on his deal, they couldn't find cause, and now that he is owed, what, $3 million, they suddenly can. But that's a topic for another day. Gary, really appreciate the time. We'll continue to hear you on the Eye on College Basketball podcast, as well as all over the place on this station as you pop up on various CBS Sports radio shows, and we'll watch Inside College Basketball on CBS Sports Network. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll rely on your sage wisdom come March.
Hey, I appreciate it. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Gary Parrish, CBS Sports, joining us here on Drive Time Sports.